Good morning. Good morning. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, verses 6 through 8. I'll be utilizing the ESV translation, which is pretty familiar for this house. And I'm super excited to be here this morning. Why? Because God has kept me alive thus far. Is anybody else excited because God has kept you alive so far this year? And we're almost entering into 2026. Again, I'm just excited because, one, I have some special guests with me this morning. They are 16-year-old triplets who would prefer to be in the bed right now, but they decided to come. Can you give my triplets a hand to my right-hand side? Come on. And then I'm excited because of a few years ago, I met your handsome pastor, Pastor Matt. Let's give him a hand in his absence right now, right? And then he sent somebody that was on sabbatical. He sent a family to our church. And we was just like one of those Sundays where when you're planting a new church, you have these little highs and lows. You could be a little discouraged. And this guy came through the door with all his joy. And I'm like, who is this guy? Who is the alien? His name is Joseph, Pastor Joseph. Let's give him Pastor Joseph a hand. He encouraged me so much. He encouraged me and my wife. My wife was like, who is this guy? And I'm just excited because over the last few months, as we've been building our core team, you guys have partnered with us missionally, like Joseph was saying, outside of the church, sending this worship team. So if y'all see me give her a little nudge, it's because I know her, and she came and worshiped and served with us. And people have come, our youth pastor came and preached for us and just did a fantastic job. It was just so many opportunities. But I just also want to acknowledge some of my core team members of the Zealous family is in the room this morning. I'm surprised that y'all surprised me, right? Zealous family is in the room. But last but not least, my baby mama, my wife for life, 28 years and counting, Lady Chardell. All right, enough of the formalities. Let's give a hand for Jesus, right? Woo! All right, again, who's going to give me 20 minutes? 20 minutes. Raise your hand. 20. 20. 20. 40. 60. All right, see? So, I like that response. If you're quiet, I preach longer. If you say amen, I'll speed up the point. Because it means you got it. I heard somebody say amen. All right, cool. All right, 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, verses 6 through 8. I took off my glasses because I'm getting older, and I don't have bifocals on, so I could see. It says this, Paul talking to his spiritual son. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Let's the church say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this awesome opportunity that you have allowed us to gather before the end of the year, the last Sunday of the year, that as we went through month by month, there has been highs, there has been lows. But most of all, God, you have displayed your faithfulness because we are here today. So, Father, I just pray that you begin to stir the hearts of every listener, everyone watching online, everyone that will eventually hear this message, transform their hearts from the inside out so that they will be propelled and compared to share the gospel and to live a missional life for your glory in Jesus' name. Can we say amen again?
Amen,
amen again. So from a quick focus, I want to share, if you're taking notes or you like to take mental notes, from a quick focus and title this morning, I want to talk about finishing the race with faith. Finishing the race with faith. I quote Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Wow, that's amazing. Really? Yes. Spurgeon reminds us that finishing isn't about speed or spotlight. It's about faithfulness. Somebody say faithfulness. Paul didn't sprint for applause. He didn't sprint for accolades. He actually persevered and was preserved for the glory of Christ. He says in verse number 7, because in this season, Paul was going, he went through so much. He planted churches and he led leaders and he built leaders and he made disciples and he had to deal with opposition and so many very traumatic situations, beatings and whippings and spitting and being incarcerated. He had to deal with so many and so much. He says this in verse number 7. He says this as he's talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Just like so many of us today, we've been through so much this year. 2025 has served us some bad hands as if we was playing cards. It served us so many lows in our lives, but then we experienced some aha moments and some big moments in our lives that actually moved us and motivated us to this day to understand that great is God's faithfulness. God has been faithful. Could you look at somebody and say, God has been faithful to you? Don't be scared. God has been faithful to you. Just think about where you've been through and what you've gone through this year. God has been faithful. That's why Paul calls us to this place of fighting and perseverance to keep going, to keep moving. Don't be discouraged. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. God is faithful. Don't give in. God is faithful. If you don't understand anything else, we will understand this, that it is so important for us to finish this year with faith. Not faithless, but being faithful. Not letting go, but holding on, even with the challenges. But guess what? We're in this season where we can on YouTube and you'll see these amount of goals, and you do this, you'll have these goals. Do these goals. So I said, okay, if that's the route we're going, I'm going to use some goals. Somebody say goals. Goals. We need some goals. So Paul's final words are a triumphant declaration of a life poured out for Christ. As his time on earth nears its end, ladies and gentlemen, he reflects without regret, but with fulfillment and hope. For every believer, the goal in life is not only to begin well, but to finish faithfully. Being a Christian and living on mission is a lifelong calling. It's not a season. It's not this year, next year, and then I go off and do my own thing. It's lifelong. It's a lifelong calling. And the crown of righteousness, according to the text, awaits those who endure in the love of Christ. It awaits us. But Paul, in this emotional, this powerful conclusion of scripture here, Paul uses the imagery here of sacrifice. He uses the imagery of battle. And then he uses the imagery of athletic endurance. You have to endure. You have to fight. You got to sacrifice. Sacrifice is something we don't want to do. It's not easy for us to do because we're spoiled. We have all that we need most of the time. But when it's time to let go of something, to give in to something, to sacrifice something, it's hard to do. But Paul's confidence is not in his own strength, but in the faithfulness of God. Who called him? So today, this text, ladies and gentlemen, will challenge us to examine how we are running our race in life, running our race to go into 2026, running our race now in light of eternity. Now in light of eternity. And I quote, in any race, the goal is not just winning, it's actually finishing. You don't have to win every race. You don't have to come in first place. But when you run a marathon, it's about finishing. Life is not a sprint. Life is like more like a marathon. Many people around you running a different race. But all of us in this room today is running the same race because it's to reach heaven. It's to have that finishing reward, that crown of righteousness, is what Paul is saying. He had a destination. He had a goal. Somebody say goals. Goals. Leading us to goal number one, according to scripture, live poured out. Live poured out. He says in verse number 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering in the time of my departure has come. I've been through hell. I've been going through. I've been imprisoned. I planted churches and people despised me and hated me and divided the churches at times. But guess what, y'all? It didn't stop me. I'm living poured out. This is where you got to get. This is your posture. Your posture is to live poured out. You have to live a life of consistency in God, a life of prayer, a life of fasting, a life of consecration before the Lord pertaining to the goals that he has given you so that you can finish this race by faith. He says this because he was a faithful witness to the gospel. He didn't let nothing stop him, and you shouldn't either. This is missional. Somebody say missional. Missional. You have to live a missional life, and don't allow nothing to stop you. Don't allow nothing to hinder you, even when it tries to move it out of the way. Some of us have some people, some places, some things that we need to move out of the way. Some people are messy. You got to move the mess out of the way. Some people are just argumentative. You got to move the arguments out of the way. Some people are haters. Anybody got haters? You got to move the haters out of the way. Look at somebody and say, move the haters out of the way. All right, y'all not talking to me. That's 20 minutes. A faithful witness holds nothing back. Your life is the offering. So the question is, are you spending it for Christ? Your life is the offering. Have you given your life to Jesus? Talking to that person that's lost. You're here today because you probably want to give your life to Jesus. This is that moment. This is that hour where Christ is encountering your heart now. He's been talking to you and you didn't know what it was. He's been waking you up. It's a new season for you because he's giving you a new life in Christ for you. This is that salvific moment that you've been looking for. Paul says, listen, no, I'm not going to let nothing stop my witness. He goes on and saying Philippians 2 and 17, he says, even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. As a matter of fact, Paul's posture of living a poured out life, he was happy. What? He was happy, y'all. He was happy living a hard life for Christ. He was happy, not just for himself, but for everybody, because he knows what it's doing. He knows it's building them. He knows it's strengthening them. He knows it's getting ready to get real crazy out in these streets. And guess what? So now he's feeling stronger. He's feeling like, listen, I can do whatever God called me to do. I can live on mission wherever God sends me, because he understood living a poured out life. There's nothing like living poured out. There's nothing like saying, you know what? I'm ready for my crown. And that's where Paul was. He says this also in Romans 12 and 1 to the Roman church. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. When you live a poured out life, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about you moving to that place of worship. It's all about you saying, you know what, Lord, I surrender my will. I surrender my ways, but I surrender my life to you. Pour me out as a drink offering. Use me for your glory. Lord, I'll tell this redemptive story. I will say it over and over and over again, the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he saved me. He raised me. He liberated me. I guess I'm by myself because I ain't getting no amens. He changed me. He renewed me. He revived me. That's good. Goal number two, fight the good fight. Somebody say fight the good fight. Anybody like MMA? Boxing, maybe. I like boxing too. I like boxing. He says, I have fought the good fight. It's a Greek word called agonizomia, where we get this English word called agony, agonize, irritate. He says, I have fought the good fight. He says this, I have struggled. It means to struggle. It means to contend. It means to fight as an athlete or a soldier. When Paul said, I have fought the good fight, he's saying, listen, I had to contend with some things. In fact, I was struggling. It was hard in this season. Oh, March was hard. April was challenging. But because I decided not to give up, I'm here in this moment. Because you decided not to give up in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, November, December, you are here. So you got to keep fighting. And you got to keep moving and keep contending. Don't give up. MMA is all about tapping out. That move was hard. That was agonizing. But don't tap out. Don't give up. Every time you feel like giving up in the next few days because the enemy doesn't like your progress, remember this, I'm not tapping out. I'm not giving up. Because I have to stay in the fight, not just for me, but for the souls of others. I'm not going to give up. Was that 20 minutes yet? I'm going to hurry up. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You can't give up. They saw you change. They saw you liberated. They saw you set free. You can't give up. I'm encouraging somebody in the room today. You can't give up. You only have a few more days left. You have to make it to the new year. You have to go to the next level in your life. You have to go to the next season that he's calling you to. Because I saw you raise your hand. I saw you surrender your life. People are watching you. Don't you give up. Don't fret. I know it looks weird. I know it feels weird. But don't give up. Don't do it. Don't give in. I love this because there will always be opposition. Somebody say it'll be opposition. There will always be opposition. But 1 Timothy 6 and 12, Paul says, he says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life. But then Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Those aren't my words. That's the scripture. And that's worth an amen. Not my words. That's what we have to do. We have to understand that there will be spiritual forces and people coming against us in high places and things that will come against your purpose, against your will of God for your life. It's your life. And God calls you to this life of fighting. Goal number three, finish your race. Run your race. Don't run nobody else's race. That's the problem with many of us. We look on Instagram, we look on Facebook, we look on all the social, Snapchat and TikTok, and we see images and models of doing something a certain way, praying a certain way, reading their Bible a certain way. Everybody has the great idea. But it's important for you to run your race. Be distinctive. God may not wake you up at 6. He might call you to pray at 6 p.m. Run your race. Share the gospel in your context to your neighbors. Live how you need to live for God that will give him ultimately the glory. Run your race. I love this because he goes back and he says this. He says, I have finished the race. Paul finished the race because he ran his race. He said, run your race, not someone else's. Comparison is an enemy. Many of us compare ourselves so much that we're so distracted. You don't want to be like Mike. You want to be like yourself. You want to be what God called you to be. Especially going into this new year for yourself. There's so many distractions in the world that holds your attention for hours. No, that's not my race. That's not what I'm called to do. You have to decipher and discern, that's the word, discern what God called you to do. Here it is. Acts 20 and 24 says this, but I do not count my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. It's all about you testifying of the grace of God that he called you to, the ministry that he called you to. So if he called you to be hospitality, be hospitable. If he called you to be an encourager, encourage people. If he called you to love and hug and care and smile, do that ministry well. This is how the church grows. If you want to take over Blanding, you have to do it well in here first. You're like, here he go from the south side yelling at us. You have to do it well. Somebody say, do it well. You gotta do it well. I love this because your witness is everything. As we look forward to the mission of Community Bible Church, your witness is everything. There shouldn't be empty seats in this room. Why? Because our witness is everything. Because when we leave here, we live on mission. We live for God. We share the gospel. We preach and we teach and we make disciples. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the things we do as a church, as a group of believers. You know, mainly everybody in this room should be saved. Some people may be on the fence, but it's our job when we come together to push them over the line. Hey, finish. Look at somebody, say finish. Don't be shy because you know they on that line. Look at the other neighbor and say finish. Now I'm looking around the room. I can't really see y'all. Y'all just shadows. Finish. 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 I'm going to say it until it stirs something in your heart. Finish. I have to finish. Finish the sweet potato pie. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Goal number four, two more goals. Goal number four, keep the faith. Keep the faith. I have kept the faith, Paul says. It means to guard. It means to preserve. You know, a lot of people around us lose the faith. They don't keep it. They're not guarding it. When you hear error, correct it. That's not faith. Mm-mm. That doesn't sound like scripture. Mm-mm. That's not it. You know one thing about when you have the Holy Spirit, people can say things to you, and you be sitting in the background, everybody saying, yeah, that's good, that's good. And you be sitting there talking, mm-mm. I know that is not in the Bible. I read it somewhere, but it ain't in there. You gotta keep the faith. You gotta protect it. You gotta preserve it. You gotta protect this gospel, his words. It's for you to share it. It's for you to know it. It's for you to apply it. It's for you to understand it. It's for you to study it. It's for you to dig in. It's for you to get locked in, as they say. You got to get locked in. Somebody say, you got to get locked in. You got to get locked in. You got to get locked in. I say this because people just say stuff, and it don't be making no sense. But you got to understand how important it is for you to keep the faith. You can't just preach faith. You got to keep it alive in your heart. You know what? You know why the word is so important to keep it alive in your heart? So that you don't walk around sinful and just sinning. David knew it. David said, you know, thy word have thy hidden into my heart, so I will not sin against you, O God. You got to learn how to keep the word in your heart. Keep it alive. Preserve the word. Keep the word. What was the movie? Denzel Washington, The Book of Eli. Anybody saw that movie? The Book of Eli. And he fooled all of us. Anybody got food? I got food. Yeah, y'all don't know the end. What was the end? He couldn't see. They was after the one last Bible. And guess what he did at the end? He lived and he knew the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in his heart. So guess what? When you have the word like that, can't nobody steal it? Can't nobody take it away from you? Can't nobody make you react unseemly? Okay, I'm gonna get in your business because y'all too quiet. Can't nobody make you crash out? He just cut me off. So, just sit back, pull up next to him, and don't even look at him. That make him mad. I just gave y'all something free. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, this is Jude. He says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith and that was once for all delivered to the saints. Fight for the faith. Keep the faith. Apply the faith. Revelations 2 and 10 says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Man, watch out. Spiritual awareness. He's making us aware. The enemy is near. He wants to subdue you for a few days, but it's only a few days. But I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to lose heart. 2-3 days from now, it may feel like 10 days. But don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't give in to the circumstance, the issues, the problems you're going through and the problems you're facing. Don't give in to it. Don't give up. That's real. That's real. That's real because so many of us are hide behind the walls of masquerading, the masquerade of and knowing that we're struggling with anxiety. We're struggling with fear. We don't want to leave our houses, right? We didn't want to leave our houses and from COVID and different things. And like we struggle. But he's saying, no, it's only a little while. Don't give into it. Because your reward is in glory. Your reward, there is a crown for you in glory. He is making you righteous. Goal number 5. And this is our last goal. Goal number 5, look to the reward. Look to the reward according to the text. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for having a crown of righteousness for me. Something that I can look forward to. A goal that I can strive towards. A goal that I can run this race and keep fighting for and not letting go and guarding my heart, the word that is inside me to keep moving me and to keep wooing me and to keep empowering me and to keep encouraging me. Amen. That's what it is. So you have to understand that the victor's crown is awarded to champions. Are you a champion? Or are you just a loser? Are you a winner? Or are you just a person that just likes to give up? It's been hard, but I'm gonna keep going. It's been a challenge, but I'm gonna keep moving. Am I preaching to somebody in the room today? This season has been good. Guess what? Seasons change. So will you be ready? Will you keep having those goals in front of you to say, you know what, I need to live a poured out life. You know what, I got to keep the faith. You know what, I got to fight the good fight. I got to keep going. As a matter of fact, I know why I'm doing this, because there is a crown of righteousness waiting for me. And it's not natural. It's a spiritual thing. And the only way I can achieve this crown is if I live a poured out life before God, who is our Father, because of his Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for the remissions of your sins, who redeemed you, who saved you, who removed doubt from you, who removed the shame from you, who removed the pain from you. It is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we're here today, to exalt Jesus, to make Jesus big in our lives, to allow Jesus to move our lives and transform our hearts, because we all still need transformation. We all still need Jesus at any cost. Am I the only one that just needs Jesus? No, I believe everybody in this room needs Jesus. So we have to stay focused on eternal rewards, not temporary applause. You're not doing this for applause. You're not living your life for accolades. You're not saying, hey, this person got saved because I shared the gospel with them. So keep going. People, the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. You have to keep going. You have to keep the faith. You have to keep running the race and finish it with faith. Amen? James 1 and 12 says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. 1 Peter 5 and 4, and I'm closing with this. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Can everybody stand with me in this moment? Finish the race with faith. Let me pose four questions for you. Leave you with this. What are you pouring your life into? What are you pouring your life into? Are you fighting or avoiding spiritual battle? Are you running your race with endurance, or are you just coasting? I'm seasoned. I've been living a long life. It's not time for you to coast. Coast in glory. Are you living that life? Does the promise of a heavenly crown influence you, influence how you live today? Is it influencing you? Is it motivating you? Are you moving towards this place of heaven? Is heaven your goal? Look at somebody and say, make heaven your goal. Say it to the other person, make heaven your goal. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment that you have given us, this opportunity, Lord, to live poured out for you. Give us strength to fight as we enter into this new year. Give us grace to run. as we enter into this new year, and give us faith to endure. Lord God, help us to finish well. In the name of Jesus. Allow us to be unashamed of your gospel. Allow us to be full of joy, knowing that our reward is in you and you alone. Let the church say amen.